Good morning. Hope you've been having a profitable week. I hope your study of the scripture has been fruitful. And more to the point, I hope that our study in 1 John chapter 3 has been productive in your life, maybe bringing some things into focus that you haven't seen before. Certainly, I think you've been given food for thought. And I'll be honest with you, folks, the world does not need Christians that can't think. The world doesn't need to hear about people who just sit back and run on the basis of their feelings. John has emphasized it in his writing. We've seen it twice in the last few verses here. In verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. In verse 19, and hereby we know we are of the truth. The idea of Christians knowing what they're about is something that is a novelty in this world. Unsaved people are so used to having Christians pop off, shoot off their mouth. Well, I'll tell you what, now that's wrong, or that's right, or the only basis of it is because I say so. Well, my preacher said so. My church has always taught. Well, I've always believed. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That is a cutting question. And honestly, it's drawn blood on me, and I hope it'll raise the hide on you too. What does the Bible say? Because, my friend, if we cannot answer the question, what the Bible says, it shows us that we got some studying to do. We need to do some research. We need to check it out. How will you know if something is right or wrong if you don't know what the Bible says about that topic? Okay, let's go on here. We saw here in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let me ask you a question. Obviously, you're not going to answer so that I can hear you, and that's not really the point. I suppose you could call it a rhetorical question. It's a question I want to use to get you to think. Think about it. What was the last thing you did consciously? I mean, you did it deliberately because you wanted to please God. Now, just before you say, oh, well, I did this, that, that, before you do that, let me ask you another question to fine-tune your thinking. When was the last time you did something specifically to please God that you knew from your study of the Word of God would please Him? Do you have an answer right on the tip of your tongue, or is this something you're going to have to think about? You see, in our society, it is so easy to get so busy. So many things going on, so many demands on our time, on our attention, on our energy. My goodness, we just don't have time. Yeah, I know that song. I've been through that chorus a time or two myself. You know what? It's counterproductive to getting anything done for God. It really is. We make excuses for ourselves for not taking the time, not making the time to spend enough time with God to know what He wants. Do you ever think of it that way? What does God want me to do today? What does God want me to do when so-and-so comes over? When I see so-and-so again, what does God want me to say? I mean, when was the last time you did something specifically because you had prayed and sought the will of God and knowing what He wanted you to do, you set out to do it for no other reason than the fact you wanted to make God happy with you? Isn't that a curious way to say it? You wanted to make God happy with you. You don't think that way, do you? Most Christians don't. They want to talk in King James English, in hackneyed phrases. Oh, yes, we want to please the Heavenly Father. How? As long as we're talking about pleasing God, and that is a biblical expression, obviously, but let's put it in everyday language. Is God happy with you? See, that makes it a little more personal than if I said, "Is God pleased with you?" I mean, I'd like to make it more in your face. Is God happy with you? Does he like what you're doing? Have you considered that? Have you ever asked yourself that? There's an old gospel song that used to be sung, in gospel in a technical sense. A line in it went, "I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?" You got to ask yourself the question, have I? I wonder if he is pleased with me. How can I do any less than my best for him when he's done so much for me? How can I be unconcerned about whether he's happy with me or not? When he gave himself a ransom for my soul. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, let me shed a little different light on this. Do you obey him because you want to get something from him? I think one of the most mercenary and cold-blooded things I ever heard a Christian say about the matter of tithing, you give to get. You give to get. See, when you give to God, he'll give back to you. So if you want to get something from God, you got to give to him. That, I think, is about the most cold-blooded, calculating kind of thing, and it speaks about the condition of the heart. My friend, you give because you love him. Whether or not there's any thought of receiving from him in reply to what you've given is not even in consideration. You give because you love him, and it also applies to your obedience. Do you obey the word of God? Do you obey his will because you're afraid not to? Because of the consequences of disobeying his will, his word? Or do you obey him because you love him? I'll be honest with you. I'm a parent. I got two grown kids. I got a son who's about 26 years old, working on his master's in counseling. Got a daughter who's beginning her master's in radio and television production. I found out, as these kids were growing up, there was obedience, and then there was obedience. When my kids obeyed me because they were afraid of the consequences, if they obeyed me because, "Boy, we don't do that, Dad's going to get on us." When they obeyed like that, yeah, okay. They did the job. They did it because they had to. That feels one way to a parent. But you also know, don't you? As a parent, haven't you experienced when the event when they obeyed you? Not because you're going to whoop them if they didn't. They obeyed you because they loved you. They did something, and they, because they loved you, they wanted to show you they loved you. And so they did more than what you asked for. They did what you asked, and they went beyond. I tell you, that'll choke you up when you get to thinking about it, if it's your kid. I mean, they did it because they loved me. Now, do you suppose, with the fact that the Bible refers to God as our Heavenly Father, do you suppose it's a whole lot different for him when we do things, not because we have to, not because we're afraid of him, but because we love him? We love him. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." That's a command. It's not a choice. It's not laid out as, "Hey, if you want to, go ahead and do it, or not, it's up to you." This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. People approach the matter of the gospel and salvation as a matter of, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that or not. This idea of going to church and putting money in the plate and being a good person, I don't know. Folks, where did you ever get the idea that it was an option? It's a command. It's a command. Well, yeah, but I mean, what's this idea? I mean, I thought we were invited. Yeah, you were invited to obey the command. You see, when a man dies without Jesus Christ and goes to hell, it wasn't because he died without religion. He died in disobedience to God's command to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. You won't get real picky, I suppose, at least from a point of view. Dying without Christ is the unpardonable sin. There's no way to get forgiveness for that one. You know, people say, well, I always heard that, suicide would be the unpardonable sin because, you know, you pull the trigger and you don't have an opportunity to ask forgiveness. A man can commit suicide because he's depressed. He can be out of fellowship with the Lord. He can have given his heart to the Lord and get so backslidden and so messed up in the head and under the devil's influence to the point he'd do something that he wouldn't do normally. But my friend, to die without Christ, there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for Christians acting like, well, you know, it's up to them. My friend, the command has been given. The command was given, go ye into all nations. And do what? Tell them that God commanded them to give their heart to Christ. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in all fairness, let's look at this. Who is this command given to? I mean, the book is written to who? Christians, right? And the focus of it is fellowship with God? Uh-huh. And we're supposed to avoid sin? Yeah. And you want to do things pleasing to him? Well, yeah, that's what it says there in verse 22. How can you be pleasing to him and not be believing, not be relying without reservation on Jesus Christ? See, my friend, it's Jesus Christ alone, not Jesus and your works, not Jesus and your baptism, on him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Command, not a suggestion. Well, I don't know. I tell you what, that old biddy did. Boy, she got a laser tongue. She just cut me and hurt me, and I just have... What does the Bible say? What was the command? That you love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Now, who's this? He that keepeth his commandment, that is the believer, the individual who keeps God's commandments, dwelleth in him, that is in God, and God in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You know, the last verse in chapter 3 is dynamite if you'll take the time to meditate on it. You take the time not just to read it, but meditate. Let it soak in, friend, that you abide in him and he in you. Hereby we know he abides in us by the Spirit which he's given us. That's it for today. See you next time.